WNST, Taos of Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into what I call football season, or in my case, the crab cake eating and brewery visiting season. For my 31st anniversary, we're doing 31 crab cakes in 31 days here in the month of August. I'll be all over the state, and the Ravens will be in Owings Mills and eventually Arizona for a lousy preseason game. This guy is getting ready for the beautiful season for all fantasy football players. He is a fantasy football guy, but more than that, really covers the game, does a great job at a Bleacher Report. We've had him on many, many times, even though he is from Ohio. So I go out there, the fertile heartland and soul of the National Football League. They did have the AFC representative in the Super Bowl, strangely enough. That hasn't happened much in my lifetime in Cincinnati. He is Gary Davenport. You can find him out on Twitter at IDP Sharks, which at one point was his fantasy team name. He is a senior writer for Fantasy Sharks. He's also available at Bleach Report and at IDP Sharks. Gary, it's been a little while, man. Happy football season to you. I know it is the most wonderful time of the year if you love fantasy sports, right?
Oh, yeah. Definitely ready for camps. Camps are underway. Preseason will be done and over with soon enough. We get down to some football, some games that count, some games that matter.
Well, look at your Ohio State hat there. And for a little while, it looked like the Browns might be okay. And then kind of the same thing that happens. And I know you're a baseball fan, too. We're here in Baltimore. The Angelos family owns this thing. It's like they'll screw it up at some point. The Browns thing, I don't even know where to begin because it greatly, and I did some Cleveland radio this week, greatly affects everything that's going to happen with Lamar Jackson's contract and probably Joe Burrow eventually too. And whoever the Steelers wind up getting, the contract situation and what happened with Deshaun Watson there, I don't know how the Browns fans are going down that road of being Commanders fans or whatever they're calling them this week, which is, why am I supporting this franchise again?
Yeah, it's not especially easy. And that 5-year, $230 million fully guaranteed contract, my guess is that's what Cleveland had to do to get him to sign. Because, you know, the Browns were out. He was going to be between New Orleans and Atlanta or whoever. And then all of a sudden,
they could have wrecked their franchise instead.
Right. And then all of a sudden, Cleveland's back in. And I'm guessing what got them back in was that fully guaranteed deal. But, oh, yeah, it greatly affects what – I mean, if I'm Lamar Jackson or Joe Burrow, I'm looking at that as the baseline. That's where we're going to start the negotiations, is I want $235 million and I want every dime of it guaranteed. So I have no doubt the Browns didn't make any friends among the NFL's other front offices when they signed that mess of a contract.
Well, it certainly made life more difficult for Bisciotti. And I guess the good news is whatever speculation and OTAs and who knows what the hell Lamar Jackson's thinking, right? And he certainly isn't going to tell anybody at a press conference here at this point, and he's not sitting with anybody to pick his brain. But as a football player and where he is in this timeline, given the injuries last year all along the roster and the level of expectation on him, where are you on Lamar Jackson? Do you think he's going to win a Super Bowl for the Baltimore Ravens?
Oh, I think it's absolutely possible. I mean, Lamar Jackson, and these comments from that anonymous defensive coordinator that he's not a top-tier quarterback and he can't throw, and it's ridiculous. I mean, is Lamar Jackson perfect as a quarterback? No. Are there things that he could do better? Yeah. But he's a unicorn. I mean, there's no other quarterback, certainly in the NFL now and maybe ever in the NFL, that can do exactly what he can do. And if I'm the Ravens, I want to get that deal done within reason as soon as I can, because I don't see the price for Lamar Jackson going down if you believe that he's going to come back in 2022 and have a good season, which I do believe. Yeah, the price is just going to go up and up and up and up. So I would try to get his name on the dotted line, but I understand why he's not in any big hurry. Again, I can't imagine, unless he gets hurt, I can't imagine a scenario in which he goes out there this season and costs himself money.
Well, and that's what Joe Flacco was saying. Gary Davenport is here. He is IDP Sharks. You can find him out on Bleacher Report as well as at Twitter. We love talking football with him. He's out in Columbus, Ohio. I've released Purple Rain 2 this month, and as people are hearing this, it'll be into the 3rd, 4th, 5th chapter. 7th and 8th chapter of the book are about Joe Flacco. The first one was about the scouting of him that Joe Douglas, who now runs the Jets, was a big, big part of, and the drafting of him as opposed to Matt Ryan. But then the second chapter was about Steve Bisciotti trying to sign him. And this was this time of that year where Cundiff had missed the field goal. Lee Evans had dropped the Super Bowl touchdown pass. And Joe was under pressure to sign because he was in the last year of the deal. And Steve's like, I don't understand why you don't take this money. It's guaranteed money. It's this, it's that. And Joe's like, it'll cost you more next year, whether I win or don't win. As long as I don't get catastrophically injured, someone's going to want me to be their quarterback. And they're going to be willing to pay me whatever top of, you know, the teams that don't have a quarterback are always willing to pay more. You know, right? So, and Joe wound up getting this incredible contract and he won the Super Bowl and better than Montana and all that stuff. But then comes the, you have to play after that and you have to play on a team that basically has an 80% salary cap because one player's taken 20% of it. The Ravens have benefited from that the last few years. The Bengals are benefiting from that right now. Things change when you sign a $50 million quarterback, and the Chiefs are about to find that out, right? You can have a hell of a quarterback, and I didn't think Joe Flacco was anything wrong with Joe Flacco, but putting pieces around that player when you have that kind of player and that kind of salary, it changes the entire motif of your roster. You better draft well.
Oh, absolutely. And you, I mean, the premium positions, cornerback, offensive tackle, you can still afford to spend some money, but, you know, safety, tight end, and you know the Ravens are going to have a tight. Mark Andrews is going to want a bunch of money, and it's going to come difficult. There are going to be tough decisions. There are going to be, you know, we just saw Kansas City with Tyreek Hill. There are going to be some situations where you're going to have to let a guy go that you really don't want to leave town because you just cannot afford to keep him around. But you know, such is life in the NFL. You're either a team with a quarterback or a team without one, and the teams that don't have one would be gladly pay Lamar Jackson 50 something million dollars a year if they could get him to leave Baltimore. So you just got to bite the bullet and hope for that salary cap jump the next year to where you can afford to put a couple more guys on the roster.
Well, there's no question they can win with Lamar. I mean, 37-12 as a starter, that's not the issue. I would say for you on the outside as a fantasy player, and I'm not a fantasy player, and we got sports wagering now. You go down to the casinos and wager here that if you like a team instead of your fantasy team. But fantasy players love the whole sport. That's part of this. They might gamble as well on the games on the other side. But having a fantasy team, Lamar – as a passing threat, Lamar as a running threat or a touchdown threat or whatever. But when I think about Lamar, if I'm watching it from the outside or I'm a wide receiver, I'm trying to gather stats, traditional 400 yards of passing and 5 touchdown passes and all that stuff, the Lamar is never going to check that box because I don't think they're never going to have Lamar throw the ball 40 or 50 times. If he's throwing the ball 40 or 50 times, they're doing it wrong and they're probably losing.
Oh, yeah, and you're seeing it this year when they traded Marquise Brown, didn't really do a whole lot to replace him. They're going back to the Ravens of 2019-2020. They don't want to be – I think they were ninth in the league in pass attempts last year. They don't want to be anywhere close to that. They want to be toward the bottom of the league. They want to run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, use Lamar Jackson as that dual threat, and take the occasional shot down the field. And that can work. I think the Ravens can win a Super Bowl with that offense. There's nothing wrong with tailoring your offense around what your talent can do.
But you better run well. You better block well. I mean, listen, 2019, Marshall Yanda still in his prime. He left the game in his prime. He was not over the hill at all. Orlando Brown trying to get paid. Ronnie Stanley trying to get paid and did, right? I mean, they had maulers up front for Lamar at that point, right? So they were in 2nd-and-1 and 2nd-and-2 every offensive set all day long. That's how they did what they did. It's never been done in the history of the game. So just saying we're going to get back to that, I don't know. I mean, it's a hell of a goal. It was fun to watch, even though it was like magnet football to some degree. But watching that and then actually going out and having the other team know you're going to try to do that and get away with it, you better have slobber knockers up front. That offensive line, the kid they drafted from Iowa, this better come together quickly in that way for the running game.
Oh, yeah, there are questions. You need Ronnie Stanley back healthy. You need your running backs back healthy. You need J.K. Dobbins in there. You need Gus Edwards in there. They can't afford – I mean, I would hope they're not going to have the kind of injuries they did last year because no team can overcome that. It seemed like every time you turned on SportsCenter, a Ravens starter was out for the season. They don't have to be as good as they were in 2019. Like you said, getting back to that height, but – you want the Ravens to be, you know, middle of the pack in the NFL in passing, and yeah, a top 5 rushing attack. That's what they're trying to be. That's the offense they're looking to play.
Gary, Larry Davenport here from Bleacher Report at IDP Sharks in the fantasy season. He's fantasy advice. He's the commissioner of All Things Fantasy. You can find him out on Twitter as well. All right, around the league and other teams and Russell Wilson in Denver and, you know, changes going on here. Give me a little league perspective as you see it. I mean, certainly in the AFC North, Cleveland doesn't look to be much. Pittsburgh's got a lot to prove, but Cincinnati and where they're going to be in the hierarchy of the AFC at this point, where the Bills are, where the Chiefs are, Chargers coming. There's a lot going on here, and I think this is the time of the year that we all sort of, maybe not watch these awful preseason games to some degree, but try to get a little lay of the land and say, who's going to be good this year?
Oh, the AFC is loaded. I mean, it's ridiculous. You look at the AFC West, you got four teams there that ostensibly can make the playoffs. They're not going to. Someone's going to get left out. Like you said, the AFC North, I'd say Baltimore and Cincinnati are the pretty clear cream of the crop there. It'll be interesting to see if Miami and New England, especially Miami, given the additions they made in the offseason, if they can gain some ground on Buffalo in the AFC East. The AFC South, again, is going to be kind of boring. It's probably going to come down to the Colts and the Titans.
Well, the Colts got a lot better because they got a real quarterback right now. Like, if they can play right around him and he's running things out there already, I don't think there's anybody more motivated than Matt Ryan right now, right? Like, literally, you talk about the tectonic plates of the league changing with the Deshaun Watson thing. That's a big part of that too.
Yeah, and I'd make them the front runners. I think people are writing off Tennessee maybe a little bit prematurely, and then you get over to the NFC. Not as good, but there are some good teams. The NFC East, you know, can Philadelphia knock Dallas off, which honestly I think they can. NFC North, you know, is it still going to be Green Bay's division without Devontae Adams on the Packers, or can maybe Minnesota gain some ground on them? NFC West is going to be a really good division too, with the exception of Seattle. You know, you got San Francisco with Trey Lance, the Rams, obviously reigning Super Bowl champions, and then Arizona with the Kyler Murray situation. That's going to be interesting to see. And then the NFC South, you know, I think people might be sleeping on the New Orleans Saints a little bit. If Jameis Winston can put together a whole season like the seven games he had last year with 14 touchdowns and three interceptions and not turn the ball over, you know, that's a team with a top five defense and some talent on offense. I don't know that they're going to catch Tampa Bay, but I think they could challenge for a wild card spot.
Gary, with Cincinnati Bengals, I think it's easy to sort of write them off. You see their helmets, right? And see where they come back from their disappointment if coming really close. I think for Cincinnati, I've been there many, many times. They've had a lot of success in the university, the Bearcats, but obviously the Reds haven't been much lately. The Bengals are the Bengals. The excitement and the enthusiasm around that and what Marvin tried to leave behind there and that they actually took it to the doorstep. I've always felt like if they ever won there, maybe that could get interesting because it is a small town and there would be some affinity for that. I think it's the Bengals' time to shine. This is going to be a fascinating pivot year to see what they do with success and how it works there because they haven't had a lot of it.
They certainly had an interesting offseason. I mean, had a glaring need on the offensive line after I think Joe Burrow was sacked. Counting the playoffs, I think he was sacked 70 times last year, third most in NFL history. You know, they go out and get three capable veteran offensive line. I mean, they overhaul that offensive line on the fly. And if they can get, you know, even an average offensive line, that offense has as much skill position talent as any team in the NFL. You know, I absolutely think the Bengals.
Well, that's how they got to the Super Bowl, right? They have really good players at those positions.
And it can be as hard, if not harder, to stay on top as it is to get there. I mean, it's difficult because just to get to the Super Bowl, not only do you have to have a really good team, you have to get lucky. I mean, you can't have a bunch of injuries. You need a break here and there. So I don't know that if I was picking the Bengals or the field in the AFC, I'm going to take the field. But I wouldn't be stunned to see the Bengals get back to the Super Bowl. It's a really good team. And, you know, like you said, they're in that window right now where you've got Burrow on that rookie deal before you have to sign him to that contract's going to be a knee buckler. And they're going to have to sign Ja'Marr Chase. They're going to have to sign T. Higgins. The Bengals have a window right now where they can really go after that championship. But it's not going to stay open forever.
Gary Davenport is here. He's getting you ready for fantasy season. Give me a little fantasy primer. Pretend I've never played fantasy before, and I'm going to get in. What's your advice to a fantasy player, being a veteran guy and who's dedicated a long stretch of time to doing this?
You can never have too many good running backs. You want to attack the running back position with the first couple rounds. Then from there, pivot, bang away at wide receiver in like the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round, and then come back for some upside running backs and the tight end and quarterback late.
Quarterbacks late. All right. Who are the best fantasy choices right now? If you get the number one overall pick, who are some clear cut favorites?
I think the number one overall pick this year is pretty clearly Jonathan Taylor. I mean, you can make an argument for Christian McCaffrey if he can stay healthy, but that's an awfully big if after the last couple of years. And yeah, quarterback late, you can get a Tom Brady, Matthew Stafford, Russell Wilson type is like the 9th, 10th, 11th quarterback off the board. So there's no reason to, I mean, having Patrick Mahomes on your team is nice, but you've got to, he's coming off the board four rounds earlier than those guys. You can get the same kind of production out of quarterback position, and you want to get it as late as you possibly can, because that means you're adding more running backs, you're adding more wide receivers, you're adding a Mark Andrews, an elite tight end.
All right. Well, yeah, you know, it's all coming up. There'll be beer drinking and wings eaten and pizza devoured. It is fantasy football season. Gary Davenport does it better than anybody. You can find him out on Twitter at IDP Sharks, as well as out on Bleach Report. Always good to visit with my friends out in Ohio in football season. You know, it's getting up on us here. I will pay a visit to you at some point. We play Cleveland and Cincinnati twice, so you'll be hearing from me sometime in the fall, man.
Oh, pleasure's all mine. It was good to talk with you again.
I hope in December that the pleasure's mine and that things are going right for the Purple Army here by the time we get there. Gary Davenport's out on Bleach Report. He's also my Facebook friend. Take care of yourself and your family, Gary. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
You too.
I am Nestor. We're taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour and our Wise Conversations out on the road. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation. Get my windows in a couple of weeks. We got special offers there, as well as our friends at Goodwill Industries. I had a great conversation with Lisa Rosiniak the other day about vintage rock and roll belts. Make sure you're shopping at shopgoodwill.com/MD. Also, our friends at the Restaurant Association reminding you about Restaurant Week in September. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.